Tonight we'll be back in Ephesians chapter 6. After that message this morning, I didn't know if I wanted to preach tonight or not. It's a blessed message, but this is the Ephesians day, so the Lord will continue by his grace to feed our souls. We want to begin reading at verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Let's ask God to help us tonight. Father, we thank you that you are the captain of our salvation. And Father, we thank you that you're the one that leads us into battle. We ask you to help us once again through your word to dress for warfare with the enemies of our soul. And Father, we know that the victory has already been won through Christ. But Father, while we're on this earth, we want to glorify you and fight according to your will. Father, teach us to put on the clothes of this armor, and Father, give us strength to persevere in this warfare. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The apostle continues to teach us to dress for spiritual warfare with the powers of darkness, and the reason why he's teaching us to dress is so we'd be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we told you when we talked about the wiles of the devil, it means the scheming and the plotting and the planning of the devil and all his agents. Now, this armor that we put on, you have to realize this is spiritual clothing. This is spiritual weapons that's given to all God's children to be able to defend and protect themselves in this fight with the powers of darkness. And it is a personal responsibility for every child of God, without exception, to use and to put this armor on. And we need to use this armor to wage a victorious warfare, to be able to stand in battle, because whether you like it or not, we will all be attacked by Satan one time or another in our life, if not many, many times, by the powers of darkness. Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." And what William says in his translation, he says, "For our contest is not with human foes," he said, "alone, but with the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark world." And he says, that is, with the spiritual forces of evil that are challenging us in this heavenly contest. So the bottom line tonight is the fact that we are in a war on a daily basis in one form or another with the unseen forces of evil. And they're led by their captain, Satan. And I told you before that his purpose is to wreak havoc in your life and to wreak havoc, period, in the church. This is a personal and a corporate battle. So we're in this battle together, and we also have to battle daily individually, because Satan is an enemy of your soul and he hates your Savior. Now, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he uses the analogy of a Roman soldier who's dressed in armor for warfare. And he uses this to instruct us on how to put on the whole armor of God. This armor that we're putting on is for protection of our souls. I mean, as we go into this war every day, if we'll put this armor on that God has given us, then we'll be protected and we'll survive this battle with the forces of darkness. And if you notice, all this armor that we looked at up to this point is directly related to the word of God. And what I get out of that is the fact that we need to attempt to read and to learn and to know how to apply the word of God in all of our lives daily to be prepared for battle. Now, using carnal weapons is useless against the wiles of Satan. Reasoning, carnal wisdom, cleverness is no match for the enemy of your soul. No man or woman within themselves possess the power or the wisdom to defeat this crafty deceiver. He's a powerful being, and he must be contested with and defeated by the power and the wisdom of God. We read 2 Corinthians 10:3 last time, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And Paul says, "For the weapons of our warfare," in other words, the weapons that we fight with, are not carnal. They're not fleshly or human weapons. They are spiritual weapons. He says they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And then he goes on to say, casting down arguments, and we said last time that was imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And he says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So these weapons that we're talking about tonight are mighty in God. And these weapons is what will make us be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. These weapons are what will make us, cause us to be conquerors through him who loved us. Good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they must be people of the word of God in prayer. Because any other way of trying to resist Satan and his army is nothing more than mysticism, is superstition, and human carnal wisdom. There's absolutely no power at all in these things to resist the devil and the forces of darkness. We need to be people of the word of God, and we need to be people of prayer, because those are the weapons that God has given us to fight the enemy of our souls. And a lot of people, when they get in warfare, they get bewildered and wonder why they can't get the victory and things like that. Well, I tell people all the time, do you read your Bible? Do you study your Bible? Do you bend your knees every now and then and ask God for help? Do you use spiritual weapons in this warfare? Because this is exactly what he's given us to fight with. And I know even times when you do that, you think you're losing the battle, but at least you know you're fighting. At least you know you have some protection for your soul. So tonight we want to look at Ephesians 6:17. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, last time we started a new group of armor, and we left off last time with the shield of faith. And the second group that we'll be looking at, it includes the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, this group has a different function than the first group that we looked at, because that first group that we looked at, that armor that he put on, it was put on the soldier's body. It was firmly fixed to his body and strapped to his body. It was immovable, and he had it on always because he was prepared for warfare. But this group we're looking at now, the soldier had to take up this armor and go into battle. And the alarm would sound, and immediately he had to take up his helmet of salvation, take up his shield and his sword, and he has to go into battle against the enemy. And the last time we looked at the shield of faith, and we defined spiritually what it was and how it acted as our shield. I'm not going to go through all that tonight. But the promise for taking up the shield of faith is that by taking it up, we would be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan that he would shoot at us. So that's a great promise that comes with that. So on this helmet of salvation, this is another piece of defensive armor, and it's the second part of this armor that's not attached to the soldier's body, and he has to pick this up, and he has to put it on his head to protect himself before he goes into battle. Now, it was vital that every area of the soldier's body was covered and protected. And it's the same thing in spiritual warfare. Every part of our soul, our heart, our mind, and our conscience needs to be protected. And so when we talk about this helmet of salvation, we're talking about another piece of armor that is protecting our soul as we war with the devil. Now, what I want to do tonight is just give you a brief description of this helmet that he wore. It was a kind of a cap that was made of very strong leather, and this leather was decorated with plates or some type of metal to give guaranteed protection to the soldier's head. And above this cap, they had a kind of a crest, or they call it a plume, that was decoration on the cap that showed spoke of the honor of being a soldier. And it's not a whole lot of definition for this helmet that he had on. But one thing about it is that you couldn't penetrate this helmet because of how they made and how strong the material was that it was made out of. But spiritually speaking, this helmet would be protecting and covered a soldier's head. And Paul, in spiritual contrast, he draws attention to our minds, to our brain, to the understanding and the thinking of the Christian. And he calls it the helmet of salvation. Now, I remind you that when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, he dealt with our acceptance and our justification by faith. He dealt with the emotions, the affections, the desires, and he basically dealt with our assurance in the Lord. But this helmet that is given to us, It protects us from losing hope and from giving up because of the length and the grind of the battle. Now, I thought about this when I was studying this, because what Satan wants to do is he wants to wound us in our mind, and especially in the mind and the heart are kind of linked together. He wants to wound you in your mind and your heart and your thinking. And if you're a new Christian tonight, you won't be able to understand this as much as a soldier who's been trotting on the road for a long time. Because there's times that you're in this battle, and you've been in this battle for many, many years. And the temptation is to think, is it worth it? You know, like the Satan will come and say, you know, like, what are you waiting for? You know, there's never going to be a prize to come at the end of this race. And this is all for nothing. So he wants to shoot us in the head and produce a sense of weariness and battle fatigue. And what he wants you to do is he wants me and you to surrender and give up in our minds. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, sometimes this can be relentless. You know, there's times you'll go say, is it worth it all? And I told myself the other day, I'm going to quit asking, is it worth it all? And just ask myself, is he worth it all? Because he thought we were worth it all. But you get in this battle and you grow old and you get aches and pains in your body and all kind of crazy stuff happens in life. I love looking at young Christians. I love your excitement and everything that's going on. I'm just so happy about it. But have you got a surprise coming if you live long? Because Satan will come after you, and he will try everything he can to get you to throw in the towel. And so, you know, if you've been fighting this thing for a long time, you've been wounded, you're striving, you're struggling, and you ask yourself sometimes, have I even gained an inch of ground? And you just get weary in battle sometimes. And now, when you hear these things that I said tonight, that's not the sound of apostasy. That's the sound of a soldier who is weary in battle. He's fought many battles for a long time, and he or she's been active in spiritual warfare for a long time. And what Satan does when he sees this weariness get into our lives, he starts aiming at the head and attacking you with thoughts of waving the white flag. In other words, surrender to him, do his will, and go back to the carefree, free, undisciplined life in Egypt. And so he would tell people that they're in the shape. He's saying they can't and they will not win. And he will try to get us to doubt the promises of God. And specifically when we talk about the helmet of salvation tonight, he wants you to specifically doubt, as Pastor Jim covered a lot of this morning, the promises of the glory that is to come. Because if you die today and you're a Christian, it's glory. Y'all with me? Now, we doubt it because we don't see the other side. But he wants you to doubt all the promises of God for the other side. And that's why we say, is it worth it? And he'll bring thoughts in your mind. He says, you know, look at other people. They don't have to go through what you go through. You know, they're walking with God, you know, like the psalmist in Psalm 73. You know, they don't have the trial and testing that you have. And they're not troubled and plagued like you are all day long. And Satan uses this and all these other tactics specifically when you have serious problems in your life. And they seem to get worse instead of getting better. I've seen people go through horrendous trials. And I said, Lord, give them grace and give them strength that they can persevere through these trials. And I'm sure that Satan attacks them in their mind the whole time that they're going to this. And what he does is he knows when you're faint in battle, and it seems like that's the time when he seems to be his strongest, is when you seem to be your weakest in battle. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So the helmet of salvation is to be worn in battle to protect us from losing hope, from losing heart, from fainting, from surrendering, and giving up in battle. You know, sometimes if you've been a Christian a long time, you go like, is this for real? You know, but it is real. You understand what I'm saying? And you get to thinking about everything, and you're going like, the world's getting worse, you know, your body hurts more, and all these things, physical stuff affects you sometimes just as much as spiritual stuff does sometimes in your body. And you're going like, am I really going to get a new body? Because I'm in bad shape if I don't get one and I come back to life again. You know, this is not going to be good. But you're going to get a new body. as Pastor Jim told us this morning, we're going to get a new body. But I want to give you an example out of the book of Hebrews that addresses Christians who were brought up in Judaism and they were converted to Christianity. And these Christians were very excited. They were happy in their new faith in Christ. And as time passed on, they were severely persecuted. And they were persecuted by their own fellow countrymen. And they looked at these people after they were converted as being traitors. And in the midst of all this continuous persecution, a lot of these Christians, if you read the book of Hebrews, they became weary and faint-hearted, and they became discouraged in battle. And they were tempted to give up the faith and to go back to Judaism because they were tired, they were weary, they were persecuted, and everything seemed to be against them, and things to these people looked utterly hopeless. So in this condition, in this frame of mind, Satan is going to greatly try to attack people as they go through these things. So the teaching of the book of Hebrews basically tells these weary Christians, and I'm telling you this, it doesn't basically say this, but this is what it would be saying to them. Take up the helmet of salvation. And it says in Hebrews 10:32, he reminds them of the former days after they were enlightened, that they endured a great struggle with sufferings. And then in verses 33 to 34, he describes the things that they suffered. And then he said this in verse 34, he said they joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods. And this is what the helmet of salvation is. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. So as they was going through these trials and tribulations, they was looking past the things that they were going through and looking at the promises of God to the future. And that's what kept them on their feet when they was going through these things. And he says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Because he says, for you do have need of endurance. And that need of endurance is you need endurance in the heat of the battle so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You say, what is the promise? It's the promise of a final and completed salvation that God has promised to his people throughout his word. He tells them in Hebrews 12:23 to look to Christ and consider him and the things that he went through, lest they become weary and discouraged in their souls. But the bottom line is that they need to put on the helmet of salvation to protect them from becoming weary and discouraged in their souls. And we need to do the same thing. I was talking to a brother this morning, and the way this country is headed, you know, I think we will eventually find out what Christian persecution is really like. And I don't want to say nothing bad, because, you know, it could go 1,000 years and never happen. But the way it's headed in one direction, we may understand what the Hebrew Christians went through when they was going through these things and understand experimentally what that's all about. But the burden and the heat of the day in the battle can get so bad that we can forget who we are, what we're destined for. We can forget who called us and forget how mighty God is. But so what spiritually speaking is the helmet of salvation? You know, I argue with these theologians a lot because I agree with some of them, some of them I don't. So I just try to pick the one that I think is right on this thing. Because I didn't realize how much different opinions theologians had on certain things. That you start studying things, and there's quite a variety of opinions on different things that they interpret. But there are different opinions by great men of God to what this helmet is. And the first thing, some of them say that this helmet is our salvation. That means our awareness of the fact that we are saved. In other words, this helmet of salvation just is we are aware of the fact that we are saved, and that this helmet speaks of our awareness and our present enjoyment of salvation. Now, I do believe that that is part of this helmet, but I believe that it goes beyond our present salvation. I believe that the apostle had in mind is what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and he says, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And that's what I believe he's talking about, because it's not so much the realization of our salvation at this present time, but it's our hope of salvation. It's our anticipation of our completed and final salvation that will happen at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the hope of salvation that is yet to be fulfilled. I believe it's what the apostle talks about in Romans 13:11. He says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. He says in 1 Peter 1:5, he speaks of the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. So you'll tell me today, you'll ask me tonight, you'll say, well, I thought being saved, I already had salvation. Yes, you are in Christ, you have salvation. You tonight, if you're a Christian, you are as saved as you will ever be. And you have eternal life, but the process is not complete. You say, what are you saying? It's not complete. And as Pastor Jim said this morning, we're not perfect yet. And so if you you got to understand, as Christians, there are phases to your salvation. And I just want to give you three quick phases that they talk about in all your theology books and is commonly known by most Christians. There are three phases of salvation. Number one, the Christian is a person who has been saved. That's past tense. Okay, you say, what are you saying? I'm speaking of regeneration. There was a day in your life when God effectually called you to himself. You were born again by the Spirit of God, and you were justified and forgiven of your sins. And that day you were delivered from the dominion of sin and the power of the devil. That's past tense if you're a Christian tonight. Or if you just became a Christian a minute ago, it's past tense. That happened. Second thing, and this is the hardest part of the Christian life. And this will sound like heresy to Calvinists, but I'm not speaking heresy. A Christian is a person who is being saved. And what I mean that's the present tense of salvation. And even though we enjoy our salvation, this is the most difficult phase of salvation, because sanctification is taking place and we are being made fit and ready for the kingdom of God. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, your faith is being proven to be real at this time in life. That's 1 Peter 1:7. And then he says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So this part of our salvation, God is sanctifying us. God is purifying us. And as Pastor Jim said this morning, he is conforming us into the image of Christ. And this is the hardest part of our salvation. When you got saved, what a glorious day. When God starts working on you, not so glorious. At the end, what a glorious day. And so this is the worst part of salvation, because this is where the work takes place. And in each and every one of us, there's much work to be done. And the devil knows that God's doing this work, and he's going to pester us and do everything he can to stop this work from being done. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, Pastor Derek preached this to us, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's going to complete this work. And this phase of salvation that I'm talking about, it involves tribulation, persecution, chastisement, warfare, trial, and testing of your faith. It involves what Paul says is through much tribulation. In Acts 14:22, we will enter the kingdom of God. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So everybody on this earth alive right now that are Christians are in this phase of salvation. And I believe that it's also a corporate thing. And I believe God not only sanctifies us personally, I believe he sanctifies churches corporately in ways that, you know, that we don't know, that he does work in us together. But I know for sure that it's a personal thing, because I'm still in this phase of salvation and I cry all the time knowing what is going on. And Vanessa don't mind me telling you, she has to get on me all the time. I was murmuring about something the other day. She said, just be calm and settle. Just calm down, just stuff like that. I said, well, I'm the preacher now. I'm supposed to be telling you to calm down. She's telling me to calm down, because there was something happened, and it happened over and over again. And I'm going, man, this wicked world, it just don't never stop. And so Satan says, what you need to do is murmur, because you have a right. No, you don't. You never have a right to murmur. But we're currently in this phase of salvation. And when a saint dies, Revelation 14:13, they are blessed because they rest from their labors and their works follow them. You want to get out of your trials that you're in now? ask God to take you home. Because if he takes you out of this phase of salvation, all this pain and struggling and suffering will be over. The people that are on the other side are perfectly at rest. You know, I know they're waiting for their resurrected bodies and things like that, but this phase of salvation that we're in right now is the worst phase of it. And that's why when you go through this phase of salvation, you need to keep on the helmet of salvation and look at that for that blessed hope of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's going to happen someday. And he'll be back and we'll be conformed to the image of his son totally, and all the great things will happen. And then the third phase is a Christian has hope of experiencing that future salvation. We look forward to that day coming when, as we talked this morning, we'll be absolutely perfect, body, soul, and spirit, because that's the hope of a total redemption. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about glorification. And I look forward to that day. You can say it in three ways concerning this. Number one, past salvation is justification. Present will be sanctification. And future will be glorification. So basically, the helmet of salvation is not rocket science. It's the hope of the glory that is to come, that is promised to every child of God. Romans 8:18, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us." And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." And that redemption is just ultimately the Christian's helmet of salvation, because when he talks about redemption, he means complete, ultimate, final, full deliverance, complete salvation in glory. Now, we possess all these things in Christ by faith. But when you put on the helmet of salvation, it's that hope of total, completed, final salvation, because one day all of this will be put behind us. And we get weary in battle, like I said, and we need to put this piece of God's armor on, because it protects us from being wounded in the head by Satan with thoughts of doubt and unbelief and defeat. It helps us in the evil day when he viciously attacks us. And were it not for the hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride, and all the promises we have in the word of God, resurrected bodies and glorified bodies, and just the absolute perfection that we read in Ephesians 5, Jude 24, and Romans 8, we give up, we faint, and we get wounded in battle. But we have this hope. And that hope is this helmet of salvation. So when he comes, he's going to try to tempt us to despair with weariness and surrender. Brethren, that's the time to put on the helmet of salvation. What a lot of people do when Satan comes, they forget about the promises of God. They forget about what God has promised. And they forget about what lies ahead for us, you know, as when we come to the end of this life. But when Christ appears again, you will be completely glorified. You will be redeemed completely, body and soul, nothing lacking. And that'll be a glorious day. And you need to keep that helmet on your head. This is worth it all, because God gave us such great promises in his word. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." And that's the helmet of salvation. "But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So our hope and aim and purpose of salvation is the fact that we will be like Christ. And just think about being completely conformed to the image of your Savior. And he says here, he says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So if you have this hope, if you have this confident expectation, you have it now by faith, but to put on the helmet of salvation, you believe that it's all coming, it's on the way. So you need to protect your heart and mind by putting on this helmet of promise that has been given to us by God. One man says this, he says, "So in putting this helmet on, we're subjectively trusting in that salvation which was once promised, which is ours both in present possession and future prospect." And then he gives this scripture, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, this salvation that the Lord has given us is simply the Christian's hope of glory. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews speaks of. He talks about these great people of faith, and this is what he says in Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they seen them afar off. And this is the helmet of salvation. And they were assured of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Are you assured of the promises of God tonight? Are you embracing the promises of God tonight? Is your hope in the fact that the world's going to get better? You know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, if so-and-so wins the election and everything, it's going to be a better country. No, it won't. No, it's been worse ever since everybody's been elected, and it continues to go downhill. But I'm going to tell you right now, the kingdom of God is not going downhill. It's going to stand. And in the midst of all this, we need to put this helmet on, because the future hope of salvation is the protection that we need to put on our heads when the devil comes and tries to get in your head. I would like to take Christians sometime, and I need to take myself too, and shake them and say, stop letting the devil get in your head. You know, put some protection on your head. Put something around your brain so he won't tell you these lies. Because we have this hope and we have all these promises given to us by God, and we need to put on this helmet because we can protect our souls with the hope of the glory that is going to come. One of the things that's done for me is I'm not quite as afraid of death as I was. I didn't say I won't die anywhere soon. But you understand what I'm saying? I look like, you know, I thought one time, I said, you know, I got discouraged one time, and I'm going like, you know, so if I will leave the Lord, then where do I go? Because you're definitely not going to something better. If you leave the Lord, I'm going to ask people, where are you going to go? And it's just like Peter says, only Jesus has the words of eternal life. And if we leave him, we've left it all. So you got this helmet of salvation. It's the hope that you must put on your heads to counter all the assaults of Satan in our hearts and minds, specifically concerning the hope of glory. Now, if you're an unbeliever tonight, there's no future hope outside of salvation through Jesus Christ. Unbelievers, there's no future for you. Your future expectation is death, destruction, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but as of right now, you're still alive and you're breathing, and you do have hope. Because Paul said, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's hope. Because you still can hear the call of the gospel. And this is the greatest promise that's given to lost sinners in the Bible. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. And if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus, you'll have that hope. And not only that, but you'll have the hope of future glory that all the people of God sitting in this room have tonight. But brethren, I would encourage you to put on that helmet of salvation. Stop letting the devil get into your head and get into your thinking and all these things that he puts in your head when you go through these hard times. Look at the promises of God, you know, and shield yourself with that promised salvation that he's given to us, because that will hold you up in battle, and that will ward off all the attacks of the enemy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for so great a salvation that we have in Christ. And Father, we look forward to the day when we'll have that completed salvation, our full redemption with a perfect with a glorified body, and Lord, that we'll be with Christ forever. Father, I do pray tonight that you will move on the hearts of sinners in your house and that you will cause them to cry out to you that they may be saved. And Father, I pray that they would take advantage of your mercy as you continue to cry out to them to come to your Son. Father, we thank you that you've given us these pieces of armor to fight this warfare. And Father, I pray that we will continue to put these things on daily, continue to pray and to seek your face, and that we'd be strong in you and in the power of your might. Father, we thank you that we was able to meet together today, and we pray that as we leave your house tonight, we'll go out of this house today glorifying you, fighting the good fight of faith, knowing that we have laid hold on eternal life. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.